What are you smiling about?
Dude, I almost had you.
You almost had me? You never had me. You never had your car. Granny shifting, not double clutching like you should. You're lucky that 100 shot of NOS didn't blow the welds on the intake. Almost had me? Now me and the mad scientist gotta rip apart the block and replace the piston rings you fried. Ask any racer, any real racer. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And live from BBC headquarters, Damon.
You're really moving on in life there, Damon.
Yeah. How's the studio over there?
It's dark and dank.
Is it? That's nice. Yeah. So how many cups of coffee and...
He's at the BBC. They drink tea.
That's true.
Moved up to coffee. Yet.
That's what the empire was built on, you know.
Cups of tea.
Yes.
And you're not going to war without a fucking cup of tea. Anyways. Starting out as usual with what we've been watching this week. I kind of want to jump in really quickly. Last week, you guys spoke about this trailer, Melancholia, the new Lars von Trier film. And you started out talking about letting Bias in the door. So I'm going to invite him back in. Because this week, I watched the new BBC film, United.
It's not a film. It's a made-for-TV movie. Okay? Just get it right.
Wow. Right. So you saw United.
United.
Mm-hmm. And it is about,
for those of you who don't know, it is...
Yes, all of you that don't know, because none of us have heard of this movie.
Oh, you literally have not heard of this movie.
Why would I have heard of a movie named United?
I know about this movie.
It is about... It centers around the Munich disaster that occurred in the late 50s.
It wasn't really a disaster, Andrew. It was, you know...
An accident.
Well... You could say it's an accident.
It was fucking Germans.
you could also say it was good riddance to a rubbish team, but you know.
That's a bit harsh.
I know, that's horrible.
That's a bit horrible. I don't think I'd go that far. Like, not even against, like, Chelsea or any other.
Yeah. Not even Chelsea.
You do realize yourself, no idea what this movie's about, right?
It's about when almost half the Man United squad died in the plane crash in Munich. That's what it's about.
Okay.
It was actually more than half, but whatever.
Like, three quarters, whatever. There were still... No, my thing is there were still a few players left, right? It wasn't everybody. There were. I'm not saying that, you know...
Mm-hmm.
That whatever there were a few team players.
Put that into speaking, Andrew. What is this movie about?
It's about Manchester United back in the late 50s, and it leads up to the Munich accident, which occurred when they were flying back from their European Cup tie, and there was an accident, and most of the team died.
Okay.
And of course, everyone who's a Manchester United fan knows that Sir Bobby Charlton was one of the few survivors, and that's when he was just breaking into the team, and it was a big thing up till today. Anytime they're talking about Bobby Charlton during a match, they always mention the Munich disaster at some point or another, the commentators. So I'd heard this through watching football, and I'd read about it on Wikipedia, but Damien knows me and history aren't the best of friends, so I didn't know every single detail that went into the story, so I decided to watch this film. The only person who I knew by face was David Tennant, who plays one of the coaches, Jimmy something or another.
Doctor Who.
Yes, he does play Doctor Who for a while in the BBC Doctor Who that's running now. And I think it's a really good movie for the reasons why Damien thinks Senna is a really great film. And I'm not knocking Senna because I haven't watched it yet, but based on how you describe your love for Senna, you just attached yourself to the content of the film. And that's how I feel to this movie. I just attach myself to the content and I enjoy it. I mean, to be objective, it isn't the greatest movie you're going to see or anything, but it's a good film, and if you don't really know anything about the story, it might clue you in on a few details about it. I watched Blowout, which is a 1980s film by Brian De Palma, where I imagine watching this film that he watched Coppola's The Conversation, which we've all seen, and we all have our own very
careful, you're about to say
equally good opinion on it.
Words, right? You know, I know what you're
going to
say, but just watch it.
I don't fear the internet. They all watched. De Palma watched The Conversation. I don't know if this is true, but I imagine he watched The Conversation, hated that movie, and decided to fix it. So he made Blowout, which is a really good movie.
So, just to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you're saying about this movie Blowout, starring the
John Travolta,
eternally revered. Wait, sorry, starring John Travolta, is that it is a great version of The Conversation?
Yes.
Fine.
It's the same kind of story, except this guy isn't a CIA person. He's a sound man, you know, who works for movie companies. He's a sound engineer. He always says a sound man, and I don't know, just latched on. And he's out one night, he's sampling sounds in the woods, and he thinks he hears something.
Yeah, he's just like, he's a crazy person, so he actually just walks around with a tape recorder in his hand. I've actually seen this movie as well. I saw it way back when. So he's in, like Andrew says, he's in the wood, and he just has his microphone in his hand.
Just listening to noises.
And then when he comes back home, he's like,
not
a scream.
No. He sees the accident. He sees the accident, and he goes and he saves the girl that's in the car. But when he listens back to his tape, he realizes something. He realizes that this wasn't an accident, and it becomes this huge conspiracy thriller, which is really enjoyable. And I don't know, I just have to compare it to The Conversation. It's a far superior film. I really enjoyed it.
Saint Travolta is better than Hackman. Is that?
I think that's what he's saying.
I think that's what I'm saying.
Saint John Travolta is a better actor than Gene Hackman.
Pretty sure that's what I heard.
I also saw Lawrence of Arabia for the very first time.
Yay!
Is there some hate for Lawrence of Arabia here? You haven't seen it?
I have. Billions of years ago. I think CVM bring it like one Easter or some shit. Yeah, I know I've seen it, but first of all, I think that movie's like 90 hours long.
It's like 4 hours long.
And second of all, you shouldn't watch anything on CVM. I know I've seen it. I don't remember if I liked it or not.
I really enjoyed this movie. Omar Sharif, awesome.
Is
Peter O'Toole.
There singing in this movie?
No, there's no singing. Peter O'Toole's really awesome. And I just like the story of this man who who ends up influencing this nation to win this war and win their freedom. And at the same time, make sure the British doesn't get a foothold in their country when it's done. Huh?
Leonidas?
Yes, he can pretty much be called Leonidas.
Actually, I was thinking about more along the lines okay, so I'm going to show my lack of history knowledge here and say Mel Gibson in Braveheart, because I don't know the name of the fellow.
What are you talking about?
Mel Gibson.
You're talking about William Wallace? You're talking about William Wallace?
Yes, thank you.
which... Just like Lawrence from Lawrence of Arabia is a real character but completely screwed up in the story.
Yeah.
As
long as it's entertaining, that's all I need.
So, and the last movie I want to talk about, I've been going on a Hitchcock run and it continues this week. I finally sat down and watched Vertigo, which I think to this point is now my favorite Hitchcock film. starring James Stewart and Kim Novak. And what I really loved about this movie was when I walked into it, the only thing I knew about it was that it was about this guy who had a fear of heights, right? And they introduced that really early in the film.
What is that? Is that all this movie's about?
That
really?
You haven't seen Vertigo?
No, I haven't seen Vertigo. That's I've seen other Hitchcock movies.
I never said.
So all I really knew about it was that, and then I found out as I was watching the film that it was about a lot more. That was just really the basis of the character in the film.
It's like the Mel Brooks movie.
I know. And I like that movie too.
No, I never said I like that movie. You like that movie. Mel Brooks is a hit or miss kind of guy.
I love Mel Brooks.
He's in
Silence. I remember you hadn't seen that film though.
Did you watch it? You like it?
Many times.
One thing that I really enjoyed about this film was that when we ended up getting to the second half of the movie, and I really don't want to talk about it in detail because Douglas hasn't seen it.
You are my excuse. Douglas has been on Earth long enough to see that movie.
There is something which happens, and you're not sure as to whether James Stewart's character is aware as to what's going on, and while you know what's going on, you're really not sure. And I just found it interesting because I couldn't tell what was going on with that character, and it's not so much a fault of the film as much as it is trying to lead up to that final scene. And I've realized this in Hitchcock films that he throws everything into that final scene, and it becomes this moment in while you're watching the movie that you just, your ears open wider, your eyes just stop blinking, and you have to see everything that's going on in here.
I'm a little bit tipsy, right? So maybe that's what's happening here. But did you just say that your ears open wider
and your eyes open?
Ears open.
Well,
wider.
Well,
anyway, you know what? I don't even just continue.
Do you know how anatomy works? You have ears. Mine ears don't close. I must tell you. I mean, I don't know if yours close from time to time. Mine stay open. Just as a matter of principle. I don't know if I can train them.
I'm trying to close my ears. For you folks that can't see me, my face is contorted because I'm trying to close my ears.
But I can't hear anymore any shit.
Anyways, that movie's awesome and I love it. So Douglas, what have you been watching this week?
This week was a good week. Very good week.
Something about the holidays and you not going to work for days and days.
Oh boy. Let me tell you. Alright, so I actually watched 4 movies this week.
Negro, what?
Actually, I think there's a fifth one, but I just can't remember. Anyway,
was it Fast Five?
Why did you talk about Fast Five?
Exactly, right. Let's start off with the elephant in the room, which is Fast Five. Hold on, no, I didn't watch that. You did, Andrew.
I did.
Yes, Andrew. Enlighten us as to the goodness.
Whatever. Anyway, Fast Five was stupid, as we all knew, but guess what? I'm probably even going to watch that movie because, hey, I'm just
you're weird.
You have to keep going because you've gone this far into
all
a franchise.
Of them, exactly. Yeah.
I've watched all of them, but that don't mean.
anyway, let's start off with the not so great, and we will go with the Chronicles of Narnia, the Voyages of the Dawn Treader, or whatever the hell the name of that movie is. I saw that movie, and for the most part, I agree with what Damon was saying the other day. It's a fairly decent movie with a lot of good CG, but bad CG.
Where did the dragon come from? Did they hire a second company?
And that mist was horrible.
And the mist, yeah, it looked
especially cheap. You know what? The mist. No. So the mist in like the second half of the movie was kind of fine.
Yeah,
but
specifically
the first time that you see the mist,
like,
it's ridiculous. I'm pretty sure that what happened was they had the mist come on, and then they did essentially a throwback to the 60s where all they did was they had the camera in the same position and they had a cut of the boat going, and then they said, alright guys, just move it out of the way so we can film the rest, and we'll just cut it out and make it look like it disappeared. Okay, cool. Because that...
What?
Anyway, the movie was alright. It was fairly
Lion Jesus.
That's right. But that's the Chronicles of Narnia. I also rewatched a movie that I remember when we talked about it on the podcast, because we actually all reviewed it. I thought it was, you know, okay, not great. This movie it's kind of a funny story. But with my second watching, I actually liked it even more. And I really enjoyed the movie. Especially, of course, my favorite scene, which is the David Bowie / Queen scene. But, under pressure. That movie was really good. I'm sorry. Zach Galifianakis was great. And everything about it was funny. Next on the list, we have The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which I've actually been reading. I read the first book and finished it just, I think, last week. And that prompted me now to watch a movie. And I was kind of upset. I actually don't understand why I have responded to the film in the way that I have, because usually I don't care about, oh, but the book is better, and it didn't do this according to how the book works.
Books have been ruining movies for years.
I know, right? But in this case it did, because I'm watching the movie and I'm halfway through, and I think to myself, I'm like, I don't feel these characters. I don't feel...
I told you why, Douglas. I'm waiting for Fincher's version.
I know, right?
No, you see, it's not that much. It's because unlike every other book movie that you've seen, this one you didn't give it time. You didn't give time between reading the book and watching the movie.
I read the book and went straight to the movie. So that may have been the problem. But that all that said, it wasn't...
Watchmen was still awesome.
That's true, and I kind of did that with Watchmen. But that said, this movie was still fairly decent.
Let's not talk about Scott Pilgrim. Right.
So this movie was okay.
The movie's better than those books.
It's still fairly enjoyable, but I don't know. There are certain things that I just... I wish that the girl with the dragon tattoo, I wish that she was a little bit more...
girly.
Not girly, no, not at all. Actually, no. I wish she was a little bit more deep. I wish we got more into her character.
That's a drinking word of the day. If you're listening to this podcast time we say deep, just shut
up.
Right?
I know I cannot separate this one. That is
true.
Just take a shot.
Anyway, I would have loved to see a little bit more fleshing out of that character. But at the same time, I can't really complain because it was a fairly decent movie. And I hope I'm reading the second book, and I hope that that book is...
I hear that those movies fall off.
Yeah, that's what Andrew was telling me, actually. And to tell you the truth, when I'm reading the book, especially the second one, I can't say for the third one because I haven't started that yet. But the first book, like, all the way through, I was saying, this is a really good story, but this guy, I feel like he could have written it better. Yeah. The second book, I'm like, why? Where are you going with this stuff, man? You're like all over the place, and I don't quite feel like I've, like, you know, there's movies and books, right?
He was running out of cops, bro.
But no, not even just that. It's just essentially, you know, that this is like the same sort of reason that I don't like, for example, the ghostwriter. Like, not writer. The,
I know.
Okay, all right.
Still up.
So at least with the first book, right? You got locked into the story fairly quickly. You knew what the movie was about. Not necessarily what was going to happen. But you were like, okay, this is what these characters are all about. This is the path that they're going down. And this is cool. With the second book, it's just kind of like, all right, everybody's all over the place. And I'm definitely like a quarter way through already. And I'm like, still not sure exactly where this is going. But, and that's how I felt about the ghostwriter today. You don't quite know what's... Anyway, that was not the highlight of the week. The highlight of the week was a movie that I have not seen in at least 15 years. It is a movie that
I don't know how I haven't seen this movie yet this week.
Funnily enough, it's distributed, it's produced by Disney. But it's a live action. It's, I guess you could consider it a comic book movie. It came out in the 80s. And it stars Michael
Crawford.
And it goes by the name of Condor Man. And this movie...
Have you ever seen this movie, Damien?
No.
You have to see this movie.
No.
This
is...
It sounds like bait and switch.
Oh my goodness. So I watched it with somebody else, and they claim that this movie is horrible. I disagree. Completely.
Right.
Because, of course, the nostalgia goggles, what they are, they allow me to see the movie for what it truly is. Which is a masterpiece of comic book cinema.
So, I'm going to give you two movies and I want you to tell me where exactly these movies, that the movie that you're talking about, what side it falls on.
Fair enough.
Right? So, The Lord of the Rings is on one side.
Okay.
Airborne is on the other side.
It is definitely... Definitely on the side of Airborne.
Okay. Damien, you have to watch this movie.
I'm just making sure.
I'll lend you my DVD.
So it is so bad that it has come around to the other side. So it is definitely an Airborne movie.
I believe so. But no, this man
dresses up in a condor suit.
No, but listen.
Sounds fun.
Listen, this guy is a comic book writer, right?
Of course.
And his comic book is Condor Man.
Again, of course.
Right? But he says, you know what? I'm going to be true to my art. I cannot draw it. I cannot create a comic book if it cannot really happen. Oh. So of course this fool becomes Condor Man. And a lot of other foolishness happens along the way, specifically with the CIA.
And there's a car crazy. And a boat.
Oh my goodness.
There's Europe and a woman. And
by the way, did you know that the woman is actually a Bond girl?
Which movie?
Who cares?
I can't remember.
What
I remember. I knew.
No,
actually, on the contrary, exactly. It means that she cannot.
What are you talking about?
I need to rewatch that movie this weekend.
But yes, that movie is superb, and I believe in my top 10 of all time, probably one of the greatest movies I've ever seen.
The problem with movies like Airborne is they have to walk a very, very fine line. Right? If you aren't on board to what is taking place immediately, the movie is just going to be a terrible mess of a movie. Right? A very few movies are able to achieve what Airborne achieves. Right? Many movies have tried. Black Dynamite achieved it. Airborne. There's not a lot of movies that go down.
Andrew, would you say that I can't remember the name of it, but would you say that Christian what's his name again? Gleaming the Cube. What's his name though? Christian
Slater.
Yeah. So would you say Gleaming the Cube walk that line correctly?
Very well. Didn't you say you had seen it skateboarding?
Yeah, that movie's good. That movie's good.
Especially with Manny.
Sweet Jesus, that movie. Christ.
I have memories of that movie.
Oh Lord, that movie's horrible.
Anyways, it sounds like you're pretty much over with.
Yeah, so, I'm done.
Damien.
I'm done. I have one last thing to talk about. Sorry. I've been watching this TV show. It's a new TV show by the name of Workaholics. It's on Comedy Central. And it's starring a guy who I actually got to see do stand-up. Actually, two of them I got to see at the same time. It was weird. But I got to see them do stand-up when I went to L.A. And it's essentially a show about these three close friends that are work at this sort of, it looks like a dead end job, and are, you know, slackers. You know, they get high every day and all that good stuff. And I just make fun of work and do stuff. And so it's, it has potential, but at the same time, I'm wishing. I need it to get really funny.
You can ever sell a comedy. You know, this will be funny eventually.
But you see, I keep watching. So far, I think there have been 4 episodes, and I keep watching because this guy. So there are 2 of them. I don't remember their names, but there's a really tall, kind of fat man. He wasn't funny. There was a really short, kind of stocky guy. He was hilarious, and he apparently is a writer for this show, which is why I'm trying to give it a couple more episodes, but it's not, it's like, you know, when it just touches something that's funny, you're like, oh yes, I want to laugh, but you don't quite reach there yet, you know that way. So
am I the only one who heard what Douglas said and thought, isn't stocky a euphemism for fat?
No, is it? Well, then I didn't mean that, if that's what it is,
isn't it?
All I heard is it has potential. You don't describe
it has potential.
Dramas have potential.
So essentially, what you're saying
have to be funny.
What you're saying, it has potential for you, is what it has heart is for me.
Exactly. No, especially when you're talking about something that's supposed to be funny. The first episode of Black Books, no one went away. This has potential. This is the funniest shit I've ever seen. I'm going to watch this until I'm dead.
I've been rewatching Black Books.
I cannot. So I watch that all the time. I just don't tell people because it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad to say I keep watching Black Books and coming and rolling over. So it was Easter, and so I watched nothing to do with Easter movies. Easter movies suck.
You didn't go and watch Hop?
Nope. However, people came over to the house, which meant I didn't have full control over what was viewed. Luckily, I did have some control. You guys will be able to guess which movies I had control over. So I saw Disney's Atlantis.
That's you, right? You really want to watch
right. I've never seen Disney's Atlantis.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. Is that the one with Michael J. Fox?
Yeah.
Okay.
Turns out, Disney know how to make cartoons. I mean, it seems sharp. I really enjoyed this one. It's another Disney animated movie. What I realized, though, is that this is one of the only Disney animated movies I think I've ever seen where they take death really lightly, like that. You know, like in Pirates of the Caribbean, they kill millions of people and no one points it at it. You're like, yeah, we kill people, no one cares. I've never seen it happen in any other cartoons. Anytime someone dies, there's some big issue with it happening. But right off the bat, like within 20 minutes, they had a crew of people heading to Atlantis. This giant thing attacked some of the crew, and they left with like 150 people. Like 10 were left, and they called back to the fact that they killed 140 people once. And there was a joke at the end of that callback. I'm like, guys, you just killed 140. Nobody cares. And then at the end of the movie, they smoke some other people, and literally. The amount of people that they murdered in this show, in this cartoon. Like, should children really be watching this? Should they know that? They should have to grow up and find out that murdering people is okay. They shouldn't learn that from a cartoon. Well, outside of that, it was really good. Fox, you can hear his voice, and they have a lot of his mannerisms in the character, but it works. I also saw Ever After. This is the Drew Barrymore Cinderella story.
Mm.
My sisters,
why?
Absolutely,
why?
Love this show.
You know, I've never seen all of
it. I've seen this movie, but they have watched it
more times than I've seen any movie ever. I've never watched a single movie more times than they have watched this movie. There's points where I wonder if they watch anything else. They love the movie.
How many times have you seen The Dark Knight?
About 50, and I guarantee you. All right, The reason I bought the Blu-ray is because the DVD has.
Are we talking about the Batman Blu-ray?
No, the Ever After.
Ever After, okay.
The DVD is done.
It stopped working.
It was like, no, bro. I said, alright, bought the Blu-ray. At first, one of my sisters said, it doesn't look that much better. And then by the end of it, they're like, I didn't see most of them. They're like pointing over things. That they didn't see all the 100 million times that they had seen the movie. I never realized that was there. That was that movie. My sisters like it, so I have to like it. I don't know if I like it or not. I've seen it so many times. they have ruined my opinion.
Stop, Damon. I'm going to help you out here. You hate this movie.
I can't say.
No. I'm going to tell you that you do. I will be that little angel on your shoulder that guides you. I don't think I can say that and live
in that house. I don't think that is an option.
It is. What you do is you hate it, but you say you like it.
I can't.
It's not the Damien way.
I don't have a Damien. Rewatch Blue Valentine.
Ooh, yes.
I think we're finally getting to the ones he had control over.
Actually, you guys are wrong. How did that movie not win anything, guys?
Because clearly that movie was worse than something like along the lines of, say, The Tourist.
Couldn't it have gotten best makeup or something? I don't care.
You know what's funny? I made my parents watch that movie this week, right? And just like any movie that I give my parents, which I know I love, my father hated it. My mother liked it a lot. And she came and she spoke to me and she's like, you know, it's a really good movie, but it's what I'd expect from young people. Young people would look at love and marriage and see this. When you've been married as long as she has, and she's been married, it's been
how old am I? 28? Like 29 years.
29 years.
Well, yeah, something
near 30 years. Yeah, she's she looks at it and she's like,
don't remind me.
You're almost 30.
Your life will soon end.
If you were born like 100 years ago, you would have been dead by now.
By the way, I'd just like to let you know, Andrew, that you're almost my age. And by the transitive property.
Isn't Damien the same age as me?
Well, then, guess what, bitches? Both of you are almost 30.
I don't know about that.
86?
I'm closer to 86? 20 than I am to 30.
86.
No, what you're talking about.
I know what date it is.
I was born when the internet started. I remember anything before.
So you were born during World War II.
I remember typing.
Wait. Stop. Andrew. Andrew. Did you just say?
Yes, he did say.
That the internet was created in World War II.
Yes, it was.
Can we stop
having this? No, I will stand behind this one. What, do you not know this?
No, explain it to me then. Explain it to me.
I remember typing shit into Ask Jeeves using Netscape. That is the first memory I have.
I never used Ask Jeeves. You know, I used InfoSeek.
Right?
Yes, InfoSeek.
But Andrew, stop. The first, you sounded like you were serious.
No, I'm serious. The first instance of any internet usage was during World War II when the American army was developing email.
Andrew.
Like, seriously.
Andrew, that is not the what they had and what we have.
No.
19 different
systems. I agree.
Tell that shit to Tim Berners-Lee.
That's okay? Like 19 different systems. Though.
The man invented it in, when was it, 1990? No, 1980 something.
Yeah,
right?
that was the first in our scheme of internet where he created the connection between the two universities.
Saying that a connection of networks does not the internet mean. Okay.
Anyways.
Alright,
Blue Valentine. Sorry, I said the wrong name. Al Gore created the internet.
I apologize.
Cool.
That movie's really good. Even the singing, and I hate singing.
Yo, that singing is amazing.
You know, I love the end credits.
Yeah.
the song during the end credits and the visuals during those.
Oh yes, I keep saying to myself that I want to
I need to buy some.
You're a little shit, you know that? I need to get some grizzly bear because I keep hearing about them. And then I watched this movie, and at the end it said all the original music was by Grizzly Bear, and I was like, oh, I like the music, therefore, ergo, I must get them.
The best part about watching this movie is the fact that both my sisters agree that it is the woman's fault.
Like, it's her fault.
I'm sorry, I mean, I feel...
I'm just watching the movie, I'm like, whose fault is it? It's her fault, right? I don't know. Of course,
the funny part of it is I feel that too. I'm like, it's her fault. But at the same time, I feel like that's the male chauvinist bastard.
Exactly. That is what I thought the first time I saw the movie. And both my sisters, they're like, it's her fault. I don't know what it is that she wants, but clearly it's her fault.
Michelle said it was her fault.
Right. So good. Like, they didn't mutually come to this point. She decided that she wanted something else. And
he keeps his like on his like, own. Come on, please.
He's like on an island begging to get back on. And he's like, no. I had the pleasure. My absolute pleasure.
Oh, yes.
Of introducing very small children.
Oh, boy. No, please tell me this was not Antichrist. Please.
To Rambo. And they are no longer nice children.
The first Rambo. The first Rambo.
No, the good Rambo. They didn't need to see the first one. That is unnecessary.
But the first one is really the best Rambo.
You're in
the first one.
No, I love the first one. Oh, okay. But the best Rambo of all time
is First Blood 2.
Part 2. Right? Where he killed Vietnam. He won the Vietnam War by himself. Okay, there no one else. And so the children came in and they were very nice to each other. And they sat down and we started watching Rambo. And by the end of the night, they were running around, shooting everything in sight with fake weapons, and ignoring the hell out of their mother. And that was the greatest gift I can give to anyone on Easter. Dear Lord, I can't wait to have children of my own. Oh, it's
I can just imagine the six-year-old Damien child walking up to me and saying, "Bitch, where's Rambo Part 2? Why aren't you watching Antichrist again?
Just chucking on people with knives. Oh, so good.
I just had an image of Damien's children, and their names were Walker and Texas Ranger.
No. That will never happen.
And Rambo.
Because I know for a fact that Damien hates Walker and Texas Ranger with a passion.
I know, but I saw in my head. The image of those two kids and what they were up to, and I was like, that's what it was.
They end everything with a roadhouse kick.
I mean, the thing that I love most about that movie is that.
By the way, are we still talking about Blue Valentine or Rambo? Or are we now on to Talladega Nights? Because Talladega Nights, I think
let's stop talking about that. The thing I love about that movie is that.
He doesn't stop shooting.
It is violent. It is not our standard of violent. It is not blood and gore. There's none of that in the movie. I think there's two times anyone swears at anybody in that entire movie. That movie could have. Is it rated PG-13? I'm not even sure.
I actually don't think I've seen that movie.
I kind of assume that it's R-rated, but there's no way that movie got an R. There's no way. It's like,
I know I've seen about a half hour of the first one, but I don't think I've seen actually anything of the second.
Right? I mean, like, the only other movies I've seen that turn children into...
Look for certification.
I've seen this happen with Star Wars, where children watch Star Wars and walk outside and immediately have lightsabers.
No, fights. I mean in the Control F section.
And you see it in The Matrix when the second children watch it. They go outside and they start doing the bullet time thing. Rambo gave the children what they wanted.
I apologize. No. I wasn't listening. But right. did you make reference to bullet time with regard to Rambo?
No, bullet time in regard to The Matrix. class.
Oh, okay.
Like when children see the Matrix, they go outside and they start doing the bullet time thing. And when they see Star Wars, they immediately run outside and like, start fighting each other with fake lightsabers. And this is exactly what happened with Rambo. Literally, they're running and chucking on each other, jumping off couches. It was amazing to watch.
Most definitely.
It's so good. I was going to wait until like the end of the season to talk about Game of Thrones, but I think I like the show enough now that I don't need to.
I really like that show. I'm not saying that it's going to be a bad TV show. I'm just saying that it started off, hey, HBO has had its lemons.
Where? Louis is awesome on the cast.
Louis is bullshit, by
Louis
me.
Is
good. I did not no, like
I'm
Louis.
Sorry. Was it Louis?
Life with Louis.
Lucky Louis.
No, it was Life with Louis, wasn't it?
Lucky Louis.
Is Lucky Louis?
I think Lucky Louis. Yeah, Lucky Louis.
All right, fine. Well, whatever it was, I didn't
Lucky
like
Louis is
one.
Amazing, and they took that off the TV. And now he's doing Louis for Fox, and that is also amazing. And it has been
different,
renewed.
Though.
Is this... it is essential.
Well, I haven't actually watched it, but from what I hear, it's stand-up plus, like, acting.
Sketches.
Right.
Sketches.
Yeah. Right. And that is essentially what Lucky Louis was. It wasn't... You know, it wasn't as plain where they actually had
whatever.
Guy listen,
the only reason that I'm happy that Lucky Louie ever existed was because the wife probably would not have been on Hank Moody if it wasn't for that show.
Right, you were talking about lemons on the HBO. Where are these lemons though?
It's no,
six
it's clearly
under.
Stop. Hey, 6 feet, 6 feet under was awesome, by the way.
Granny porn. No. Granny porn.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, they're few and far between. It's called... Actually, that's our special name for it. But to tell you the truth, I can't
I think
even remember
it's,
it.
I think it's
I
Loved
New
You...
York or something
No. It's I Loved You... Tell me you love me.
Tell me you love me.
That's the name of it, I believe.
Yeah, it was. It's the one where in the first episode you actually see a lady jerking off this guy, like literally. That's the thing that I remember. Yep. The name of it is Tell Me You Love Me. Okay, so there's that one. Plus,
it is rated R.
Yeah.
Rambo. Just
Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew will argue with me on this one, but I feel that Carnival was a bit of a lemon.
Yeah.
I mean. I remember not really liking that show. There was another one about, again, Andrew's going to argue with me, about, like, married people. What was it? Married...
Big
No.
Actually, that is a...
That's a lemon.
Awful.
But no, what is it? The
Mind of the Married Man. The Mind of the Married Man. I love that show. Even though it's one of the few HBO shows that actually got cancelled.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this show.
Yeah.
Alright, moving off that. Game of Thrones is awesome.
I agree with you. I was questioning it after the first episode, but the second episode was amazing.
You know what I think about this show?
And I never do that with TV shows.
I think that this show
that awesome.
Has potential.
Okay.
Potential. That's what this show think. Has. Potential.
That was what you think is irrelevant.
No, what I think is right.
Damon, do you think every midget in Hollywood hates Peter Dinklage?
I'm pretty sure they do. Because he's so good. And the rest of them have no chance of measuring him. I like that scene where he boxes the prince.
Yes.
Say one more word. Oh, so good. Breakfast.
Whores.
It's breakfast and whores. It's so good.
There's a reason the door is closed.
Douglas, you know you like the movie. You know you like it.
I know.
You
the,
don't
thing
want
is,
to admit
the thing
that
is,
it's
I
awesome.
Want to like the show. I have no qualms about saying that.
It
I would love
like
to
me.
Like this show. It does sound like me. But it just hasn't quite reached the level that I wanted to reach.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it won't, and I'm not saying that
this
level right this now
is bad.
This
coming from the man who said, yo, just if I start, you know, too good. I know it's not as good.
I have to recant that statement, by the way.
Good.
For the past, like, 4 or 5 weeks straight,
yeah.
this show has been
right,
stellar.
You, this was it's not as good as that first episode was so good. Are you high?
As we're going through, like, shows and stuff, I wonder, are any of you guys watching the web series Mortal Kombat Legacy?
No,
I'm waiting
no.
for it to finish.
You're waiting for it to finish. Okay.
I saw the first episode. Sorry.
Of course, everyone knows Michael Jai White is in it. I think he's really the biggest name in there.
He's
also
the only name.
there's the girl from True Blood, Pam, is in there, and the guy from Dollhouse.
Okay, hold on. So, by the guy, do you mean Victor?
No, not Victor. I mean, the one who in the first season was a police guy who was searching for the dollhouse.
All right, cool. So Pam, is she fighting anybody? Is she one of the fighters?
Not. Yeah, she plays Sonya, but she hasn't had a real fight yet. Okay. But whatever. I was kind of mediocre on this show for the first two episodes, but the third episode came out recently, and it broke away from the Jack storyline.
How long is each episode, by the way?
10 minutes.
Okay.
The third episode, and it just jumps over to Johnny Cage, and I just loved that origin story that they created for Johnny Cage. And that is why I'm going to keep watching the show. I just wanted to mention that.
I think there are 6 episodes.
I don't know how many they're planning.
So I'll watch them when they're done.
Yeah, so you'll just be an hour and
it's,
done.
Right, it's 10 minutes.
yeah.
So that's pretty much it. Game of Thrones is awesome. Douglas keeps derailing this talk. Game of Thrones is awesome.
Cute.
And it has the guy from Lord of the Rings, and he took his clothes from Lord of the Rings and walked into this set. And it is still awesome.
This week in trailers, the first trailer I wanted to talk about is the trailer for
Gamora. Actually,
would have been.
It's a trailer for Michael Bay's newest film. Can you believe it? Transformers 3.
I'm sorry,
Dark Side of the Moon.
I saw T3.
Space race of the 1960s was in response to an event. If you breathe a word of what you've seen here, we'll do time for treason.
Everything humans know of our planet, we were told, had been shared. You lied to us. You've made a grave mistake.
Which, unless I'm mistaken, is a Transformer.
No, T3 is a Terminator movie, right? Yeah,
Terminator.
Yeah, I think so.
And that movie was good, right? Wasn't it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. Wait.
Not three. Not
yeah,
three.
That's true.
Although, to be fair. Only the second movie was
so out. I guess the real question anyone needs to answer isn't was this trailer good or do you have
trailers.
Hope it's do you think this movie can surpass its previous installment?
Okay,
Robot Heaven,
so I just like to comment by saying there's not much in terms of needing to surpass.
Exactly.
Two,
you set the bar at the bottom, at zero.
Exactly, right? But secondly, just to show you how bad this trailer is, I'm really trying to think hard as to how it looked, what happened. I can't remember. I've blacked it out already. This trailer was bad. Actually, I can't say.
No, the trailer was good.
The trailer was it was a little bit thrilling.
Look,
but
if you like watching shit blow up on screen, this trailer feel good.
You know what annoyed me though? As I was watching the trailer, I kept recognizing shots which were from previous Transformers trailers. There was a moment where Optimus Prime came into the warehouse-looking building and spoke to the FBI or whatever she is person.
You're telling me that.
And I'm like, that's exactly what was in part two. And then you see the shot of Bumblebee like looking like he's crying and looks like the world is ending, and that was from Transformers 1 and 2.
Let me get this straight. You expect me to sit here and hear you badmouth the script on Transformers movie? Are you crazy?
Well, no, I was bad-mouthing his ability to find other moments in the film.
Doug, what exactly
by
do
the
you
way,
think a Transformers movie is going to be
there's,
about?
There's one thing that I have to actually say about this trailer, and that is that they fail in the sense that they made a trailer that was very much subpar to the first. The first trailer for this movie was actually really good.
Yes. This whole dark side of the movie.
Yeah, that was great.
Landed nonsense.
This trailer was another run-of-the-mill Michael Bay movie, and
the only gripe I have with this trailer is that at the start it says Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg.
Well, Spielberg's name's been attached to all of them.
No, that why isn't ILM anywhere near?
Because
they are the ones that make Transformers.
Because they saw 2 weeks ago how Rise of the Planet of the Apes put Weta on their trailer and said, we're not going to be that tacky.
What's that? They're the only redeeming quality about any other Transformers movie is the Transformers. Whatever people speak in that movie,
the movie goes all to hell. I thought people didn't like the Transformers because they didn't, read too good?
Yeah.
I wonder if those are back. I hope not.
I hope to God that yeah.
Are you guys going to watch a movie at all?
Won't matter because I'm not watching Transformers 3.
I don't know.
For the same reason,
it's on TV,
I won't watch.
Maybe one day I'll get stuck.
For the same reason, I won't watch Fast 5 or Hop.
Hey, I cannot promise not to watch Fast 5. I'm sorry.
Look, I've said this many times this year. I'm going to say it again. I've earned the right not to watch shitty movies. I've put in all the
due diligence
required, right? I don't have to. Douglas, when you watch a bad movie, what do you gain? Hatred of bad movies.
Well, no. But it depends. It depends on how bad the movie is. Let's take, for example,
this
Airborne.
No, but will Transformers be that movie?
Of course
it will not. Will Fast 5 be that movie?
No.
It will, because they don't see the humor, right? They are trying to make a serious movie. Sadly. Both these movies are going to suck. I'm just hoping that the movie is so bad that people look back at the second movie fondly. Much like how the second movie was so bad, people looked at the first movie fondly. They're like, Jesus Christ.
But you know what's the worst part about this? The general public will still love it.
Right, and that is why you guys should stop supporting shitty movies. You guys are part of the problem. You guys know, at least the general public have an excuse. Yo, Transformers is on the screen. You guys know better and still refuse to do it. You know Fast 5 is terrible, right? And Andrew still went. Under the guise that it is free, you could have gone to watch any other movie. Don't go and nonsense.
Actually, no, I couldn't.
Oh, you couldn't have paid and gone and seen a better movie?
Probably.
There's nothing else that you could have watched except Fast 5.
Yes.
Okay.
They hijacked me.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not doing it. I'm trying to support these movies. I'm not going to.
So are you going to see Thor when it hopefully comes out next week?
I actually want to see Thor. I think that movie could be good.
You are naive, man.
I'm hoping that it's good.
He's an optimist.
There's a guy with a hammer that's wrecking shit. How bad can it be?
There are robots who are wrecking shit.
Yes.
How bad can it be?
And it turned out really bad. Alright, and then they said, wait, just to make sure that the first one didn't look as bad, we're going to make you realize just how bad we can make robots wrecking shit. Then in part 2.
Okay, and on that note, we can move on to the other trailer of the week, Immortals.
Oh, shit. We've only been talking about one trailer so far.
Yes.
I have plenty of women. I have plenty of weapons. I have moved every precious stone you people worship upon. My mark will be left on this world forever.
No!
The Heraclean King Hyperion has declared war on all of humanity.
If any of you influence the affairs of mankind, the punishment will be severe.
Human who could leave.
lead them against Hyperion, it would be Theseus.
This film, it's about Greek gods, and it's directed by Tarsem Singh.
Stop!
I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I would just like to say, I did not need this trailer. I just needed directed by Tarsem Singh.
Alright, question. Hold on.
From the dude that gave you the
I'd like to ask you guys, forget who directed it. This guy didn't... No.
You see, the thing about this trailer is, if I even attempt to forget who directed this...
Although... To be fair,
yes.
The trailer for The Fall is god awful.
Really? Is it? I never actually watched the trailer.
Literally, it is like patterns running on the screen. It tells you nothing. It has nothing. It almost has nothing to do with the movie.
Wow. Okay.
It's terrible.
Anyway, but yes, if I even attempt to forget who directed this movie, this trailer becomes exponentially worse. this trailer looks bad, like really bad.
It looks like Clash of the Titans.
Thank you. It looks like is Clash of the Titans, except if Clash of the Titans was more along the lines of 300 in terms of prettiness. So it looks like a pretty bad movie. But
I love the fact that they're like, hey, from the producers of 300, hey, from the guys that gave you some money to make that other movie,
exactly, right?
Comes this movie.
But to tell you the truth, this is another case of X-Men First Class. This is another case of a movie where, despite the horrible trailers, do you see how Matthew Vaughn has corrupted this boy's mind?
Hold on, do you see how he actually believes? I will not keep quiet. This man is wrong.
You see, Damien actually believes that was a good trailer. You know why? Because Matthew Vaughn directed it. That's why. You see,
James McAvoy, right?
If Fassbender was
and Jennifer Lawrence,
if all these people weren't in it,
on a side note, can we take a moment to realize how kind of silly it is to think of Kevin Bacon in an X-Men movie?
I love that.
What's so silly about that? He's been in like other movies.
Kevin Bacon,
he had to have done it
comes
once.
In bad movies. The thing with Kevin Bacon is he's good in every single, no matter how terrible the movie is, he finds a way to elevate himself. I'll give you an example.
Are you being serious?
I'm being very serious.
Okay.
Beauty Shop.
Alright, no. Fair enough. I have actually seen 5 minutes of that movie, and the 5 minutes of that movie I saw was with Kevin Bacon, and he was hilarious. However,
I never watched that movie.
Look.
Hollow Man is terrible. Josh Brolin.
Yeah. Hollow Man
before Josh Brolin became Josh
it
Brolin.
It is god awful.
What is wrong with
Josh Brolin Kevin, before he was Josh Brolin was the
Kevin
movies.
Bacon.
No, that's Josh Brolin before he became the man before he was Josh Brolin.
Kevin Bacon chewed on every piece of scenery in that movie.
Have you seen a movie, I can't remember the name of it, but where Kevin Bacon is in it, mm-hmm. along with his wife, Kyra Sedgwick or whatever, and I think Mos Def is in this movie too, about him being like some sort of child molester or something like
that. The Woodsman.
I've never seen it, I've wanted to watch it. Okay, don't.
I had no real plan.
Do you know what's my fondest Kevin Bacon movie? And
he said, she said.
No.
I don't know, I just knew that you watched that recently.
Right, what's
and I can't remember the name, but it's with Lawrence Fishburne.
The Messenger movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bike Messenger movie.
He's a stock market. He's a stock market pro, and then he loses all his money, and he goes to Bike Messenger. And in the end, of course, he has to make all this money for his Bike Messenger friends by going back to the stock market.
I'm sorry. I used to see that movie on TV all the while. I think it's called Quicksilver, but I'm not 100%
sure.
Yes, that's
the name of the movie.
I'm a fan of Kevin Bacon. So.
But anyways, Immortals, you guys hated the trailer, but you're going to watch a movie anyways.
Kevin Bacon, ever? Yes, you have? Okay.
I have to say, with that Immortals trailer, I kind of like it. Footloose. I kind of like it a lot. Like, regardless of the name, because you know, you guys know I still have not seen The Fall.
Because you are crazy.
And what's the other movie he's directed? The Cell, which I don't have fond memories of.
Listen. We don't talk about that. That suffers. That movie suffers from first movie-itis, okay? Jesus. It's just...
Although, that movie is beautiful.
No. I remember it being really pretty. I agree with that.
What's her face ass is in that movie a lot of times.
Wait a second, she just turns around for you.
I actually saw that movie recently. I remember seeing it on TV and being like, it can't be as bad as I remember.
And it
I'm sure you said that about Spawn as well.
I love Spawn. I'll never watch that. I'll never watch it again. No amount of money can get me. I will die with my love of John Leguizamo and that guy in Spawn.
I remember being so disappointed, and you have to realize that I wasn't
Michael Jai White and Leguizamo.
Oh no, we were talking about Spawn, and yes. I remember I actually watched that movie as it came out, and I think I was all of like 14 or 16, and no, like probably closer to 14, and I hated that movie. And the funny thing was, I looked forward to it so badly. I saw the trailers and I was like, "Oh, this movie looks awesome. Spawn, yes please." And I went to the movie and I came home at night and I cried.
I've only seen that movie in snippets and I don't remember if I've ever seen it all together. I remember it being like one of those movies that I wasn't allowed to watch when I was younger, and I was like you. I saw the trailers and every one of my friends were talking about this, how awesome it was, and I was like, I want to watch it. Forbidden Fruit, that's the fucking thing I was thinking of. And I always saw it in snippets on TV, and I can't remember for the life of me if I've ever seen it all together.
I watched it many times and enjoyed it many times. I will never see it again because I know it is what I'm remembering right now. It's not good. Yes. This is not good.
So
it is not in my head. So it's not. What the hell were that? Right, The Immortals. The guy who made The Fall made this movie, and so by law,
by Damien's creed,
right, I'll have to watch this.
You know what I really like?
They put out another trailer that is even worse, in which case I will invoke, I don't need to watch bad movies anymore.
Damien, you know, no matter what the fuck they do with the trailer, you have to watch
this one
movie.
Is pretty bad.
And you know what's the worst part? It's not going to come out in theaters here, I'm sure.
No
so.
Shit.
Well, no. Actually, I think it would.
Will.
Because did you not see this? This is 300. Not only is it 300, but they let it be known that it was made or it was funded by the people that did 300. So when
and
those
it's 3D,
folks over
and
at...
it's 3D.
Wait, sorry, what?
It's in 3D.
Of course it's in the third dimension.
Wait, hold on. I did not actually...
You can't make action movies anymore that don't have 3D in them, son.
Wow.
I
clearly just stopped watching after I realized it was a Tarsem Singh movie. I do not remember this 3D being...
Was that the
push.
End?
Fuck it.
I mean, it wasn't as big as Thor, where, you know, they had the 3D and then it just blew in your face.
I'm going to be so very upset with Tarsem.
No, but if anybody can make 3D look good, it's probably this guy.
I would make a comment about Michel Gondry, but I know that both of you like that fucking movie.
I enjoy
it. I am not a huge fan of that movie, but
I enjoyed
some of it.
Yeah.
Disco Santo.
That was funny. What was I going to say about this Immortals again?
You really don't like it and you're going to watch it anyways.
Probably.
Her journey would take her to distant lands to face many dangers beneath the sands. But when something evil...
So, this week, Douglas asked us to review the...
Why you say like that? Like, you know what?
Yeah.
This movie was horrible. But you know what? Douglas asked. Yo. I had to.
Normally, we wouldn't watch this shit. Just said we had to.
So the movie that we're talking about is The Extraordinary Adventures of Adele Blanc-Sec. And I'm sure I've ruined that pronunciation, but I don't give a shit anymore. Douglas gives me too many French movies to watch. It's the latest film.
Shouldn't you have gotten better at speaking French then?
No. It's the latest film directed by Luc Besson. He's come back from his hiatus.
Yeah. He retired, apparently.
Didn't he make a good movie once?
More than once. He's made
a few. So Douglas, tell the people what this movie is about, because I'm sure they haven't seen it.
Well, you, the people out there. So okay, this is clearly a French movie. Keeping with my usual fare.
Do you think you'll ever not pick a French film?
I picked a Korean movie the other day.
It was good. Very good.
Anyway, so this is a movie about I guess the best way to describe her is a female Indiana Jones.
Of course.
She is
that's what India was missing.
Exactly. Instead of an archaeologist, though, she is a reporter.
Uh-huh.
And she's a reporter that goes on these sort of adventures. I mean, I guess this is a series of stories, but in this one, the major adventure that you see her on is actually one that looks like an archaeological one, where she goes to Egypt, and she tries to retrieve one of the, not the pharaohs, but one of the mummies there in one of the pyramids. And this is essentially, it's what it is really a glorified kids movie.
Ah.
Right? But it's French. So let's not forget about that. As Andrew was telling me just a while ago, he was very upset that all the men wore mustaches. For some reason, that made him think that this was a bad movie. I don't understand how mustaches and bad
Andrew,
movies kind of correlate. But
Andrew, you don't like real men.
But no,
I can't grow one. It's not fair.
So this movie.
Get one. 2011.
So this movie is very. I wouldn't say it's geared towards children, but it is very much a light film. There is a lot of almost tongue-in-cheek scenes where, you know, you have her doing something ridiculous, and you kind of look at the movie and you're like, you're ridiculous. And she almost looks back at you and winks and says, yes, I am ridiculous. And it works. That actually does work for the first third of the movie.
Okay.
And it works very well, I think. And, of course, this is a seasoned filmmaker who has made great movies. So the list is there, right? You've got the cinematography. You've got the directing. You've got, actually, the acting is... I think it's good, and it is what the film called for. But it works. The acting works very well in the first piece, along with the whole movie itself. And then as you get to beyond the setup, beyond the first half an hour, then you're kind of like, okay, so what are you going to do with this story? And they really don't do much with it. So as I said, she's a reporter who goes to Egypt. And what she's really trying to do for some reason, don't ask me why, is to really steal a mummy from one of the pyramids, because this mummy is supposed to be this famous doctor. Now, the reason that that is important, the fact that this mummy is a doctor, is because somehow she has found a way to bring things back to life.
Oh, of course she
does. Of course, exactly, right? And you actually see that in the beginning with a weird little professor guy bringing a pterodactyl back to life from a museum.
No, he doesn't bring it back to life. He births
it from the egg, which is being displayed in the museum. It flies around, makes some problems, and he gets into jail. And then there is a whole long storyline about you know, trying to figure that out. How can I get this doctor out of the jail, or this professor out of the jail, so that then he can help me to
bring
this person back to life?
Because what now?
Because I actually don't understand.
Because the police find it easier to blame him. Because someone died because of the pterodactyl.
Oh.
And they found him with the pterodactyl. And they're like, it must be you. And they just threw him in jail.
Yeah.
And so she getting the mummy would free him out.
Well, it doesn't free him. What it is she's getting the mummy so he can bring it back to life. He can't bring it back to life because he's in prison. No, she has to deal with that.
Okay.
And it's... The funny thing about this movie is that even though... right as she gets back from Egypt, that's when I feel that the story starts to drag and not quite work as well as it did. Even though that happens, there are still some really good moments in the movie. Like, she really tries hard to get this guy out of jail, and she goes through all sorts of crazy plans. Like, she goes into the prison at least 6 times dressed as somebody else. There's one time she was dressed as a nun, she's dressed as a policeman, she's dressed as a nurse.
And so they catch her and release her?
Of course, they catch her and release her every time, because this is a children's movie. Right? And because
we want to teach children is you can go into jail as many times as you want, dressed up in as many costumes as you want.
And try to free prisoners. And every time, and there will be no consequences.
And every time she fails, all that happens is she gets kicked out of the police station, and she, you know, stumbles from the front door and has a bit of a frustrated look and says, time for me to find another plan, which is...
And I told you there's a movie very similar to that.
Shut up. We
it
will
stars
not,
Dana
we will
Carvey.
Not even speak of this.
Jesus.
No, Andre's being horrible. It is not at that level at all. It is much better.
That was a PhD to me.
But what was I saying? So yeah, this movie, I wouldn't go out on a limb and say it was bad, but I also wouldn't go out on a limb and say it was good. I would say that overall, if I were to grade this,
aggressively mediocre.
Thank you. That you took the words right out of my mouth.
No.
And you know, the thing about it is, it's aggressively mediocre, but it's also extremely upsetting because, as I said, you watch the first half an hour and you say to yourself, finally, I found myself a really good movie. I enjoy this. And then...
They threw all that goodwill That's not good.
Yeah.
So
what did you think of this movie, Damon?
This is now the Seen Unseen podcast, where I represent the unseen portion of the podcast. I didn't see it. It sounds like I came out the best.
You saved a bullet. you dodged a bullet. This movie is not very good. I guess I have a lot of stylistic problems with this film, but I'm going to leave that aside because it's on purpose. It's trying to be a cartoon, and I get it. It's a children's film, but at the same time, it bothered me a little bit. Like Douglas mentioned me making the comment about the mustaches. It's just a little quirk that I'm like, why is it there? Why is, like, literally every man you see in this movie has a mustache. There may be two men who don't have mustaches. And the moment Douglas talked about the scene where the woman dresses up as different people, anytime she dresses up as a man, she has a mustache. And
all real men are supposed to have mustaches.
We're 3 men at the table. How many of us have mustaches?
Well, I cut mine off from time to time because it bothers my vision. I can't see.
Boy, you've got quite a mustache.
I keep looking down at it and not look where I'm going. It's such a glorious mustache. It has to be cut quite often. I keep running into things. Women keep bumping into me for street. It's too powerful.
I mean, I have no problem with the general mustache joke, you know, because one of my favorite things is, like, in Anchorman, to laugh at Paul Rudd's mustache in that movie. But this movie takes it to another level. And how did I knew that was going to come? And that really bothered me. What followed was all the problems Douglas talked about, where the movie starts out as Indiana Jones with a vagina, and it ends
come
up.
Come on, with a hoo ha.
With
it's a kids movie.
Of course.
A uterus. With a uterus.
No. That's too much. Much too clinical. Maybe with some lady bits.
Lady parts.
And it ends up becoming this really silly movie, which all it does is make me think of the last French children's movie Douglas made me watch. If David remembers, that is Zazie.
But the thing about this movie is, right? So you say it transforms into a silly movie. I think it's a silly movie from the start, but it works as a silly movie for the first half hour.
Is it just fatigue or does something actually happen? Like, is there definitely a point?
I feel like there is a point to the movie and the movie is building up to something, but
a point where it definitely shifts from like the first half an hour where it seems to be a decent movie. Is there like something that happens?
Well, it's not necessarily something that happens. It gets drawn out.
Okay.
So I watch this movie, right? And the first half hour is great, and then as you venture into the rest of the film, you kind of say, all right, things are going okay. And after a while, you kind of say to yourself, okay, I kind of see where this is going, but why doesn't it get there? Because I've been watching this movie for 2 hours now, and I know where it's going, and we still haven't gotten there. And even when you get to where they are going, I don't know if you are on the same page as me, and maybe I'm just being weird, but I feel like where they get to at the end of this film is where they should be. Instead of 2 hours later, they should be at that point maybe a further half hour, and then they can continue and have another maybe half hour of a story that, you know, continues from that vein. That's what I feel. But again, I don't know if you are on the same page as me.
I slightly agree with you, because if that first half an hour was the introduction to a different story, the movie could have been good. Hold on.
Was tied to a completely different movie.
And the funny part about it is, nice. When the movie is over, when the film is over, it gives you a little epilogue, which kind of alludes to, we want to do another movie. And it's kind of like if it was a TV show and they were like, this is going to be next week's episode. And the first half an hour, it introduces a slew of characters who are basically the Nazis. To Indy, those characters are the Nazis for this woman. And they never call back to those characters again up until the last moment of the movie.
Yeah.
And that bothered me.
So there's just no antagonist. But like,
the antagonist of this movie, you know who the antagonist of this movie is? The law.
I'm afraid. Although, to be fair, this movie reminds me of Brendan Fraser did a movie about having power.
Ink.
Yes.
I never watched it, but I remember the trailer.
Literally, that is the movie. That is the worst ending to a movie I think I've ever seen.
You didn't watch Skyline to the end, did you?
No. Is the end of that movie? So in Inkheart, reach it in the out of books, and it happens.
So
at the end of the movie, he writes shit on a piece of paper to kill whatever was attacking him, and the girl just reads it out and then disappears. He could have done that like 10 minutes into the entire movie. I'm like, why not just read yourself out of this? This is the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. And literally at the end of the movie,
like a light goes off.
Yeah, yeah, like none of this shit happened. None of this shit happened. Like, okay. And that is where my hatred for Bridget.
You want to know what happens?
Just a little bit too.
You want to know what happens in the last minute of Skyline that you refuse to watch?
No. War of the Worlds, because no. That was really bad too.
No. So spoilers for Skyline.
I'm not watching that.
Did you get to the point where they got sucked up into the...
Just tell me how the movie ends.
Alright, so eventually these people who are running away, the ones who are left, the girlfriend and the boyfriend, they get sucked up into the ship.
Of course they do.
Right? And you find out that the ship is capturing pregnant women.
Okay.
Right, and you found out early that the girlfriend is pregnant, right? So she goes into a different room. While everyone who isn't a pregnant woman, they then take away their brain and implant it into those things that come down and fight, which look like drones,
right?
So the boyfriend's brain gets picked up, and he then gets some form of superpower and has control over his being. And he starts to fight off all of the other drones it leaves you thinking he's going to win. It is one of the stupidest endings.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And he's saving the girlfriend.
Breeze killing people in Breeze killing the aliens in War of the Worlds. That, my friends, that is a stupid ending.
Like, but I think we're actually,
when that movie ended, I went, there's no way this is the end of the movie. There's no way this is the end of the movie. Is this the end of the movie? I hear a voiceover and I see credits rolling. That was where the what? What? Alright. And the sun limped. Alright, this movie's garbage.
But I think we're dragging way off topic.
Yeah, it's because the movie that Douglas forced us to watch, although I didn't watch it. It's bad. It's really bad. So
how it works, right? This isn't like the biggest problem though. It's a children's movie. And if you had children, I'd be like, go ahead, make them watch it. They'd probably have fun. But they have to read subtitles.
Maybe French children like it.
I'm sure. Douglas?
Yo, this movie doesn't sound fun at all.
Would you recommend this movie to people at all?
No, you wouldn't, Douglas. You did it once and it didn't work out.
Don't do it again. Yeah, if you're looking forward to this movie, please stop.
Who was looking forward to this movie?
We were all looking forward to this movie because we heard Luc Besson is back.
I didn't hear anything about this movie. You guys were like, oh shit, Luc Besson's the movie. And I went, sure, I'll watch. I'm not Luc Besson. Turns out it's bad. Why? Liam Neeson wasn't in it.
So,
really soft hosted podcast.
Anyways, By the way, I just like to let everybody know, I have not received an email today. Therefore, I don't believe we have a discussion planned.
No.
Okay, just making sure that.
And it's already about 11, so not very good.
Yeah.
Andrew's really bad at this whole season. It's really bad. Do you listen?
Okay, so listen. Here is what I think Andrew wants to say. I think Andrew wants to say that he wants to thank you for listening to our show. He wants to tell you that if you'd like to hear more of our show, you can go to gmanreviews.com and listen to it there.
There are also articles there that you can spend some time reading. He does a lot of reviews.
There you go.
And they're very personal reviews to him. Some of them are really good. There are some, I have no idea what he's talking about.
And you can tell the difference between the two.
Right.
You can also, if you'd like, the podcast is not only on gmanreviews.com. See how I got two plugs in there?
Right.
It's also on iTunes. It's also on the Podcast Alley, where in both instances you can actually review the podcast, which would be great. We'd love it if you did that. Also,
higher or lower reviews, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We want to give your
input. Want honesty.
Exactly.
We want feedback.
Also, you can follow each of us on our various, you know, websites. So, Andrew...
Social network.
Network, exactly. Andrew is on Twitter. His name is G-Man Reviews. Also...
Turn on me.
Exactly. Also, on Facebook, you can friend him or look at, you know, his nice little reviews and whatnot that
like
he
him.
Loves. At facebook.com/... G-Man Reviews. Oh my goodness.
Turns out they were both available.
Yes.
No one else had G-Man Reviews.
For myself, that's Douglas. You can find me on Twitter at DJR lost his name.
And no, he's not a real DJ.
No, I am not. And for Dame, wait, what? Can you find Dame on anywhere? Oh shit!
Sadly, you can't.
Unfortunately, you cannot. So, well, you know what? You know what? 2 out of 3 is not
but
a
why?
Bad ratio. Okay.
I really don't think most of what people say should be heard, and definitely most of what people type should not be read.
Well, with that, I think we will wrap up and say thank you for listening, and we hope that you listen to us
in the day
in another episode. Good night.
Stretch out beneath the sun. No one's born, no one dies, no one loves, so no one cries. And we wait to see just what we will become. Don't let me falter, don't let me ride, don't let the earth in me subside. Let me see just who I will.